This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
And welcome to the podcast. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Caroline.
And you know what, Caroline? This episode, a rerun of the Oprah Winfrey Show, is coming out on Christmas Day.
Well, Oprah is one of my favorite things.
That's right. I felt like an update plus rerun on Oprah is a present in and of itself, don't you think?
I agree.
I mean, because here's the thing about Oprah. When this episode first aired on Stuff Mom Never Told You in late November of 2011, Oprah had just finished up with the Oprah Winfrey Show and was going through this transition to the Oprah Winfrey Network. And everyone was wondering, can Oprah weather the transition?
Yeah, there were a couple of shaky moments there. Oprah Winfrey Network did not look like it was going to be as hot a commodity as her show was. But, I mean, she has proved herself to be a resilient lady, quite a tough cookie. And she not only has pulled through, but she is doing some pretty darn amazing things now.
Yeah, Oprah kind of had the best 2013 ever.
Yeah.
First, let's back up and just say that she has gotten the Oprah Winfrey Network on stronger footing with Oprah's Next Chapter, which is kind of the hallmark show of the entire network, where she gets these exclusive celebrity interviews. Her interview, for instance, with Lance Armstrong when he fessed up to doping was a huge ratings boost. She's also talked to people like Lindsay Lohan and the NBA player who came out, Jason Collins. So she's figuring out how to do this whole new network thing, and she's even restarted up the Oprah Book Club, but it's now called Oprah's Book Club 2.0. So she's, you know, she's back in the game, but she really came back in the game this past year.
Yeah, Forbes named her its highest earning celebrity of 2013, worth $2.9 billion.
Yeah, and on top of that, on top of doing very well financially, she also received a little thing called the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is only the nation's highest civilian honor. She was awarded that medal by President Obama with the likes of Bill Clinton, Gloria Steinem, all sorts of incredible movers and shakers.
And Oprah herself is quite a mover and shaker. She hit the big screen in Lee Daniels' The Butler, and she actually got a Screen Actors Guild Award nod. So she might be up for a big award as Best Supporting Actress for the 2014 awards. She played Gloria, who's the wife of Cecil Gaines, a.k.a. The Butler, played by Forest Whitaker.
Yeah, and people are saying that she is very likely going to get an Academy Award nomination for that role as well. Which, can you imagine Oprah turning 60 this coming year in January 2014, right around the time when the Academy Award nominations are coming out. And what if Oprah got an Oscar?
What a good birthday present.
Seriously, what can't she do?
Well, she did declare in her magazine, Oh, the Oprah Magazine, that 2014 is your year to shine. And so on the cover, it's featuring her going through a lovely makeover. She goes from curlers to like a incredible sequin dress. I'm going to say, you know, all you haters out there who think it's silly that she's on her own cover every single time. I mean, I don't mind it.
I second that. I mean, just let Oprah be Oprah.
Yeah.
Because you know what? She has earned it, as you will learn or perhaps relearn in this special holiday rerun of a fan favorite episode from a ways back, the Oprah Winfrey Show.
So take a listen. Just for this episode, we brought in comfy couches.
So that Caroline can jump on it at some
point. Right, because I am in love with Katie Holmes.
Yes.
And, Kristen brought in a wagon of fat.
Yes, and I also wrote a fictional memoir.
Yes, that I will accuse you of all sorts of things of it.
It's called A Million Little Podcasts.
Wow. Wow. Here we go.
Here we go, folks. Get ready, because we're talking about Oprah today. Because on May 25th, 2011, a date that will live in infamy, the last episode of The Oprah Winfrey Show aired.
It did. And then, I mean, she started her own network, so.
Yes.
She didn't go far.
The Oprah Winfrey Network, which I'll go ahead and say up front that Discovery Communications, which is the owner of HowStuffWorks.com, is affiliated with. So we'll keep our Oprah Winfrey Network comments at bay, because we really need to just talk about the woman and the show.
Right.
Because she's one of the most powerful and influential women in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do we start?
I say we start with the show and talk about exactly how many people it has sucked into its orbit.
Let's go for it.
That is 48 million people were viewers of the show.
Wow.
Regular viewers of the show. That's
incredible.
A lot of people. She affected the lives of so many people, whether she was telling you to buy a panini press,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, helping you overcome something terrible in your life.
Or giving you a Pontiac G6 sedan.
Oh, God. Let me tell. Okay, sidebar. My mother religiously watched Oprah for years, every day, 4 o'clock, watched Oprah. I don't remember what favorite things episode it was, but those episodes always made her so angry.
Why?
Because she wasn't getting the stuff.
Oh.
She's like, I have to watch all of these strangers get all of this stuff. She called her sister crying.
Wow.
One of the last, it was in the past couple of years. She called her sister crying, and her sister was watching the show too, and they just sat there and complained.
Because she wanted the favorite things so badly.
Yeah, those are some cool favorite things.
Yeah. It would be
Oprah has good taste in like pajamas and stuff.
Pajamas and paninis. See, 48 million viewers, 150 countries.
Yeah.
The Oprah Winfrey Show is beamed to. And just in terms of ad dollars alone, to give you an idea of the value of this talk show, a 30-second ad spot during her show, as it came toward the that finale on May 25th, could run you a cool $1 million.
Yeah, it was not cheap.
No.
I don't think I could just run like a personal ad
during
the
really
Oprah
rich.
Show.
It's like the Super Bowl of regular television.
Of talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every day of the Super Bowl.
And what kind of stuff did she talk about, Caroline?
Well, I mean, part of her popularity was definitely that she brought so many previously taboo topics mm-hmm. to the forefront. She had her favorite things episodes, which were definitely very popular. Everybody wanted to tune in and be told what to purchase. But, I mean, she brought stuff forward, like incest, domestic abuse, sexuality, addiction, depression, AIDS. And she used her own stories to mm-hmm. sort of bring people into it. Because I think it was in the 80s, during a show, it was like the 88 or 87, where she admitted to her viewers, the whole public, that, you know, she had been abused as a child
yeah.
and a young, young adult also.
And of course, Oprah is not without her critics and her controversies, which we'll also talk about, because for all of the influence that she has gained over the 25 years that she was on the air, she has also launched the careers of other people such as Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, Rachel Ray, in fact, which I didn't realize.
Yeah, Rachel Ray used to be on her show.
And also the Oprah Book Club that has made so many authors so much money and actually brought reading into the mainstream again, some people might argue. And with great power comes great responsibility. And some people think that maybe she's abused that responsibility, but, you know, the same time, she's done a lot of good as well, which we'll talk about with her philanthropy.
Yeah.
So much.
Right. Yeah. Well, speaking of philanthropy, she's reportedly given $350 million of her own money to charitable organizations. And through her show, she's managed to raise more than $51 million, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I believe the honorary Oscar that she was given this year was specifically for her philanthropic work. And, for instance, in 2007, she opened that Leadership Academy for Girls in South Africa. Also kind of controversial, kind of considering whether or not that was the best way to reach out to those girls.
Right. Well, she also had, she started the $12 million endowment at Morehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a way of lifting people up. You know, she's trying to practice what she preaches, basically, on her show.
And she's also invested a lot specifically into the Chicago community, because Chicago's really where she got her start in television. And speaking of which, why don't we offer a little bio of Oprah Gail Winfrey, born January 25th, 1954.
Yeah, come with us. Come with us to Mississippi.
Yeah. Yes, come to the farm on Mississippi where Oprah was born to her unwed teenage mother. And she was initially raised by her grandmother on the farm. And then she was sent off to Milwaukee to live with her mother. And she had a rather promising childhood in elementary school. She was a star pupil. In one of the television episodes, she actually brought back her favorite teacher from elementary school.
Who kind of remembered.
Who sort of kind of remembered. She also enjoyed church involvement, other school activities.
Yeah, she was frequently the one called on to, you know, say prayers, or she handed out graham crackers at school. She was a participator. She was a joiner.
Yes, kind of a star personality from the get-go. But then at the age of 9, she was molested and raped by her cousin, who took care of her and her siblings while her mother was at work. And then in her adolescence, she was also raped by an uncle and a family friend, which really started, I mean, just this kind of history of personal tragedy in Oprah's life.
Yeah, there was actually a quote from her where she was reflecting on her childhood of abuse, and she just said, at one point, I just had the thought of, like, okay, well, this is life.
Yeah.
Like, this is what it's like. How do I get away from this? But one thing she did say also is that from the very young, very tender age of 4, she had this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a lot of talk about Oprah's idea.
Yes.
That she had for herself and that she never let go of. And she said that it was sparked when she was 4 years old on her grandmother's farm, and her grandmother was, you know, hanging clothes on the line or, you know, doing chores and stuff. And she was like, well, you're going to have to learn how to do this too one day.
Mm-hmm.
And Oprah was going, no, I'm not.
Nope.
I'm getting out of here. I'm not doing what you're doing. So from a very young age, she was determined to be different.
Yeah.
To achieve more and just rise up sort of beyond where she was.
Now, with all of the childhood sexual trauma that was going on, and her getting pregnant at the age of 14, it seemed like that dream that Oprah had would certainly not be fulfilled. She was only following in the footsteps of her mother. Because she had been acting out, actually, she was sent to live with her father in Nashville, and her father is just horrified and ashamed that his 14-year-old daughter is pregnant, but she ends up losing the baby. And in a way, this is really the huge turning point for Oprah, where she refocuses herself in school. And I think she actually, I don't know if she graduated early, but she was, her coursework was ahead of her age group, and she ends up earning a full scholarship to Tennessee State University. And in 1971, her real big break begins when she wins two pageant titles in that year, Miss Fire Prevention and Miss Black Tennessee. And when she wins Miss Black Tennessee, she's noticed by the local black radio station, WVOL, that hires her as an on-air reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And this starts her career in media.
Right. And the rest is history. Good night. She really got going from a very young age and eventually started, she had a morning show.
Mm-hmm. In 1984, she breaks into the talk show circuit in Chicago, hosting AM Chicago in the same time slot as Phil Donahue.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is, Phil Donahue was one of the pioneers in sort of the girl talk show format. But he's going up against, or Oprah's going up against him. And needless to say, we all know what happens. Oprah gets her own show. AM Chicago is expanded in 1986 to an hour-long format. And eventually, Phil Donahue goes down the tubes.
Right. Well, Oprah just has this way of relating to people.
Yeah.
She walked out into the audience. She was part of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
She was asking questions of her guests, whether it was a celebrity, an author, or a criminal, or, you know, just a single mother. You know, she was asking questions that the audience themselves would want to know.
Right.
And so she had this way of dealing with people, this sort of empathy that made them more comfortable and able to share things. And she's just, I guess she took her past experiences and was able to really use those on the show.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And like you said, Caroline, when she was so open initially, very early in those talk show days, about her history of sexual abuse, it really dismantled that fourth wall between the viewer and, you know, that person on the television talking directly to them and relating directly to them. And even now, 25 years later, when she is, you know, one of the richest women in the world, people are still able to relate to her on a very just kind of friendly basis.
Right.
You know?
Like they would just run into her on the street and
exactly.
Be like, hey, let's go get lunch, Oprah.
Yeah, she's someone you'd see in a grocery store and just be able to have a chat with, even though she's obviously running in circles so beyond, you know, the everyday viewers.
Right. Yeah. But no, part of her popularity is that she understands the full range of the quote unquote female experience.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that being a woman is not just about shopping. But it's not just about being a mother and having a family. There's a whole range of things to being a woman. And Caitlin Flanagan in The Atlantic, I thought, had a good quote about it. She said that Oprah can move so easily between episodes about, on the one hand, rape and domestic violence, and on the other, shopping and decorating, demonstrates not a lack of focus, but the fact that she understands the full equation of the female experiences in ways that few others have.
Yeah, and it's not only just the female experience, but also the Black female experience mm-hmm. on television, so open for one of the first times. And that's something that, too, that she's been very consistent with, of supporting the Black community and supporting other Black women. And I think that's one of the reasons, too, why she's made such a significant impact, because she's, I don't know, I feel like she's been able to, in her own way, love her or hate her, been able to bridge certain communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she was inspired by so many different women on television. So I think she took bits and pieces from everybody, and, you know, and then incorporated them into her own experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she said that she had so much admiration for Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
And she was so excited to see Diana Ross on television and seeing Sidney Poitier getting out of a limousine at the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
So she was just so inspired by all of these things she saw on television and other women hosting talk shows and everything, that, you know, she was able to combine her knowledge, her life experience with a really sassy television show.
Exactly. With an incredible amount of influence. For instance, with the Oprah Book Club.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
We gotta talk about the Oprah Book Club.
Mm-hmm.
It was launched in 1996, and the first book that she promotes was Jacqueline Mitchard's The Deep End of the Ocean. And since then, the number of books sold since being selected on her show, 55 million.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and only 11 of the books that she's ever singled out have not made it on to the USA Today bestseller list. Basically, if Oprah likes your book, you are, I
right.
mean, it's
or
payday.
Or your Panini Press, or your vacuum cleaner, or
right.
whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's been a lot of flack mm-hmm. over this whole book club thing.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, it's getting people to read. You know, like, she's encouraging people to read. She's bringing people in and being like, yes, country as a whole, let's all read this book together and talk about it. It gives people a sense of community,
mm-hmm.
Even though it's on television and she's so rich and so far away. You know, you're still part of something. And so she's encouraging all these people to read. But on the other hand, there are a lot of people who say, well, you're not picking the right kinds of books, or your book club is not cool enough for my book, which was the case with Jonathan Franzen.
Oh, yeah. Please talk about this Jonathan Franzen controversy. Because this one, I was not aware of this, the Franzen episode.
Right. He wrote the novel Corrections.
Which is fantastic.
Well,
I highly recommend it.
I mean, it's good that you like it. Have you ever watched Oprah? Because he doesn't think that people who watch Oprah would get his book. He said that it would be too hard for them.
Ooh.
Burn.
And basically saying that it would be too hard for the stereotypical middle-aged housewife
yeah,
to read this book.
Basically.
Jonathan Franzen.
I know. He's like, yeah, that's nice and all, but don't put your corporate logo on my book.
Come on. I read that. That was my poolside read a few summers ago.
So not
Come
that,
on, Franzen.
Not that challenging.
And I did not need my unabridged dictionary beside me to figure out the plot line.
Your old English.
Yeah. My magnifying glass. And also, I mean, she sent Tolstoy's Anna Karenina back up to number one in, what, 2004?
Yeah, what? I've never even read Anna Karenina, really. I mean, I admit it. Hey, they're fine.
Hey, maybe you should join the Oprah Book Club.
I know. Well, I picked up Love in the Time of Cholera at
so
the grocery
good.
Store. You know, we've in our romance novel podcast, we talk about mass market paperbacks,
mm-hmm.
like sold at, you know, whatever big box store, the grocery store, whatever. And yeah, there are Oprah Book Club books at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And so I picked up Love in the Time of Cholera.
And
hey,
some of it,
along with my cereal or whatever. You know.
And some of it is fantastic literature. I mean, I think the fact that so many more people now know about authors such as Toni Morrison and Alice Walker,
yeah.
who are two of Oprah's most favorite female authors, I would attribute that to Oprah. But at the same time, though, we got to talk about things like The Secret.
Ooh, yeah, pseudoscience. Yeah, she's definitely gotten a lot of flack for her promotion of pseudoscience.
Mm-hmm.
So books like The Secret, which basically say, So all these bad things that are happening to you, you're just not putting enough positive energy out into the universe. So right. It's your fault.
It's all about the universal law of attraction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've met people who firmly believe in the power of The Secret. I personally have never read The Secret. But at the same time, yeah. When you have that, again, it's going back to that thing of what do you do when you have such incredible influence like mm-hmm. Oprah has? When you make decisions to promote things like The Secret and bring Jenny McCarthy on to talk about an autism vaccine connection that is yet to be verified by any kind of scientific study. You can read more about that on HowStuffWorks.com if you don't believe me. And bring on Suzanne Summers, who is going over her controversial health regimen to keep her young mm-hmm. in the vein of, what's that guy on Parks and Recreation? Rob Lowe's character who will live forever. Yeah. And then, launching the careers of people like Dr. Phil, who again, probably has just as many, if not more critics as he does followers.
Right. Well, all this stuff that we were just talking about pseudoscience, and whatnot. And, there's all this talk of Oprah and the Oprah Show as a religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how, she was raised in the Baptist church. And so religion played a big part in her life. And like we said, as a child, church was really important to her. Mm-hmm. But, through her show, she sort of promoted all of this just different veins, just different types of religion. And she's talked about different ways to find spirituality. And that's kind of the key, is that she's definitely focused more on spirituality and finding inner peace than she is talking about like a particular religion.
Right.
Catherine Lofton, she's an assistant professor of American Studies and Religious Studies at Yale, has a lot to say about Oprah.
Yeah.
In fact, she wrote a book called Oprah, The Gospel of an Icon. She argues that Oprah has become a religion, quote, because she invites ritual processes towards her, and her iconography fosters produced ritual. And that ritual, critics say, is that people run out and buy stuff.
Sort of the whole idea of consumption fulfilling that sort of self-need.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you can argue it so many different ways because, yes, obviously with segments like Favorite Things, you can say that promotes just a false consumerism. And yes, there's a pseudoscience aspect of it. But it does seem like at the root of all of it, it's not a bad message that she is promoting at the end of the day, which is living your best life
yeah.
and enriching yourself and also being open and sharing your experiences mm-hmm. with other people. I don't know. It's kind of hard. It's like I keep doing this motion with my hands of the weighing the scales, because there is, stuff that you can say on either side.
Right.
And for someone like me, I feel like I'm a very, I'm basically like Switzerland when it comes to Oprah. I never really grew up with Oprah. My mom never really followed Oprah. I had roommates, who were really obsessed with Oprah, but I don't know. She was never really that much a part of my life. So I recognize the impact that she has and also have been taken aback at certain times by, maybe pulling out a wagon of 67 pounds of lard.
Right.
And choosing to promote certain things.
It's interesting how strong the reactions are to Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people out there are obsessed with her. Like, they might do, the Michael Jackson concert thing and, totally start crying and pass out. Or, they just totally slam her and say that she's fake, she's materialistic, mm-hmm. She's promoting all of this junk science. But, I'm the same way as you. I see the good she does.
Yeah.
She's encouraging people to read, she's encouraging people to overcome bad circumstances in their life. I read O Magazine.
Which
love O Magazine.
We haven't mentioned O Magazine. Forbes named O Magazine the most successful startup in the entire industry ever.
Yeah, well,
it's incredible.
I mean, when you already have a humongous base of fans and followers and people who love you and who will do anything that you say. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think the time when I was most astonished by Oprah's sheer power was during the presidential election and the controversial sway that she had in pulling for Barack Obama. I mean, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that a talk show host can go into the political arena and show up at a rally with Obama and be like, this is who I have picked. Mm-hmm. Larry King couldn't do that. I mean, like, what other talk show host could do that?
Incredible that she can do that and yet still form that, in sociological terms, that parasocial relationship with a viewer that allows us to still, you know, people like your mom to mm-hmm. still relate to her as a friend.
Right. Yeah. Women's talk.
Women's talk. Yeah. I mean, lover or hater, like, you gotta give it to Oprah that she has done something pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And now that she's, you know, moved into this new project of trying to build her own network, it'll be really interesting to see whether or not that influence will only grow or if it will wane. But at this point, I mean, she's, wow.
Yeah. And hey, you know what? If you want to put yourself on the cover of your own magazine every month, I say do it. It's your magazine. Do whatever you want. I'll read it. I don't care.
I know. People use the fact that Oprah's only had, she shared the cover with Michelle
Twice.
Obama.
Yeah.
And who else?
Ellen.
And with Ellen DeGeneres.
I think it was in the same year. So she's like, let's knock it all out at once.
And people say, you know, use that as some, sign of this
egomaniac.
Yeah. And of course there are, you know, the gossipy anecdotes about her being just an incredibly demanding and crazy boss to work for. And I'm sure when you are running one of the most successful production companies in modern media, yeah, you probably are putting in 16-hour days. And I'm sure if you're one of the most powerful women in the world, you probably do get kind of crazy sometimes.
Yeah, hey, I get cranky when I'm tired and right. I am on, you know, I'm managing nothing. And I think it's pretty impressive that a woman who is ranked the number 3 most powerful woman in the world behind Michelle Obama and Irene Rosenfeld, who's an executive at Kraft, has kept her love life private.
Right.
I mean, everyone in the world knows who Stedman Graham is.
Right. And Gayle King, her best friend,
right.
And all of the absurd speculations that go on.
Right. But I mean, I think it's pretty impressive when you have celebrity divorces and babies and marriages and whatever on the news all the time, like 2 seconds after they happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's chasing down Oprah being like, oh my God, let me get a picture of you eating with Stedman.
Oprah doesn't need it.
She just waves her finger and it's like, nope.
Well, imagine. I mean, if you are that influential and that A-list of a celebrity, I'm sure you have to protect your privacy
absolutely
fiercely, or else, I mean, you're just never going to have any time off the camera.
Mm-hmm.
What else can we say? I mean, there's just so much.
There's so much to Oprah.
Yeah.
She's multifaceted. She impresses me so much. The fact that she, as a 4-year-old, had this idea that she was going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And she proceeded to take every opportunity that she could.
Yeah.
And she rose to the stature that she has now.
And if anything, you got to give it to her for bringing those taboo subjects out of the closet and talking about them.
Yeah.
And making us maybe more comfortable talking about issues amongst ourselves, too.
Mm-hmm.
Taking down that fourth wall.
Exactly. So we hope you enjoyed listening to, revisiting, really, our Oprah Winfrey Show this holiday season. And if you are Oprah, we are 2 podcasters who are available to appear on the Oprah Winfrey Network at any time.
That's right, because the Oprah Winfrey Network, I think as we mentioned in that episode, is a part of the How Stuff Works and Discovery Communications family. So you know what, Caroline? Oprah is kind of like our coworker.
That's right. She probably has nicer shoes than I do, but she is still a colleague.
Yeah, and if she would ever want to name us as one of her favorite things, we would be fine with that.
Yep.
So, and that would be the most magical Christmas present of all. But I do hope that all of you listening are having a happy and hopefully restful holiday season. And if you have any thoughts at all to share on Oprah, did you see Lee Daniels, the butler? I have yet to see it. I need to see it because apparently her portrayal, as we mentioned, is stellar.
Yeah.
So if you've seen it, let us know. MomStuffAtDiscovery.com or any other thoughts on Oprah, Gayle, Stedman, what have you. You can send them our way or you can tweet us at MomStuffPodcast. You can message us on Facebook as well. And we have a couple of messages to share with you when we come right back from a quick break.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, back to our letters.
So we've got a couple of letters to share from our episode a while back on beauty salons versus barbershop. And Megan wrote us, big fan of the podcast, been listening for years. Thanks, Megan. I had a couple of thoughts when listening to the beauty salon versus barbershop episode. As a white woman with a very large amount of extremely curly hair, I have spent my life walking into hair salons and seeing the hairdressers blanch because they have no idea how to cut curly hair well. Because I'm not black, they can't use the "we don't cut that kind of hair" excuse, so they have to give it a try, and generally I end up with terrible haircuts. When I moved to a city with a large black population, I found I preferred going to black salons because they know what they were doing with my hair. Also, as a side note, I have a degree in public health, and during my schooling, we studied several programs that used beauty salons to promote positive health, particularly in the black community. Some that come to mind are program advertising breast cancer screening and an educational program involving flyers about diabetes and heart disease, since they disproportionately affect the black community. Love the podcast and keep up the good work. Well, thanks, Megan.
And I have a letter here from Mallory. She says, thanks so much for highlighting the life and career of Madam C.J. Walker in your hair salon podcast. I am an Indianapolis native, which is where Walker based her beauty empire. Indy is so proud of our cultural heritage, and Madam Walker is a big part of it. There's a theater in the city that she built as a cultural hub and also to house her company. The theater is named after her and is still operational. I had the opportunity to perform there once as a high school student, and it is truly a gem in the city. Walker has always been interesting to me because she really is one of the most successful Indianapolis entrepreneurs of historical note, male, female, black, or white. I love that she melded her business and cultural affinities to support the community. As an artist, I think it's important for business leaders to support the arts, and Walker was a thought leader in our city, pioneering this idea as well. One of the things I love about Indianapolis is our robust African-American culture. I don't think many realize this because Indiana is also the historical home to several KKK Grand Dragons. However, the city of Indianapolis is truly world-class and has many different cultures to thank for its development. I love to hear about the rich heritage of my state and city, and I am thrilled that one of our major cultural contributions made it to your podcast. So thank you for writing in, Mallory.
And thanks to everybody who's written in. MomStuff@discovery.com is where you can send your letters. You can also tweet us at Mom Stuff Podcast. Find us on Facebook. Like us while you're at it. You can also follow us on Tumblr at stuffmomnevertoldyou.tumblr.com. You can also find us on Instagram as well. Look at all of our pictures at Stuff Mom Never Told You. And why don't you look at all of our videos while you're at it? Just head on over to youtube.com/stuffmomnevertoldyou. And don't forget to subscribe.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
We are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.